The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the skies is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? Father, we ask thy blessings upon this word this morning. We ask, Father, that the Holy Spirit will be present in our lives, in this body, in this church. I ask you, Father, those that have been sick now for some time, I pray for your healing hand to touch them. I thank you, Father, for all you've done for this pastor. Now I ask the blessings upon the church as a whole. Strengthen them, protect them. Bring us all closer to you, Lord. I ask these things in your name and for your sake we pray. Amen. Signs of the times. Such were the words of rebuke spoken by the Lord Jesus to the religious leaders of his day. These men have had, like the children of Issachar, understanding the times, according to 1 Chronicles 12:32. They should have realized that the event of their Messiah had taken place, for many Old Testament scriptures foretold the signs that would accompany his coming. They're all around us, church. The world has changed the church, not the church changing the world. That's a sign, of course, of the coming of the Lord. One has said, and rightfully so, that history has a tendency to repeat itself. Like styles of clothes, for example. Hairstyles. What's important, what's not. His second coming is drawing near. And by his second coming, we are referring to the time when Christ shall return in power and glory as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We see in Matthew 24 and verse 30. Matthew 24, verse 30. God says here, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heavens, and then shall all the tribes of that earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. My friends, he's coming. Matthew 25, 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7. Behold, he cometh in the clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Revelation 19. Verse 11, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of the Almighty God. Verse 16 says, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh name written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of the heavens, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast, and the king of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse, and against his army. I believe we are closer to that time than most of my brethren does. My prayer is for the sake of many lost people that he would wait. But see, that's a fleshly statement. God's going to come right on time. The day of salvation is now. The day of repenting of your attitude that so many professing Christians have, it's time to change that. Signs literally abound all around us, yet men go on in total indifference to these, not knowing, not believing that the judgment awaits the one who does not take heed to them. There'll be no second chance. When God split those eastern skies over, it's over for you, friend. So today is the day of salvation. Today is the day it said, starting today, I'm going to serve God the way I'm supposed to. I'm going to talk to him. And I'm going to listen to him. So how does God talk to you right here? I love to talk to him. And I'd love for him to talk to me. And he does. Now I would like to direct the attention to some of the signs of the times. Though space forbids us from considering them all, time forbids us from troubling them all. But if you're familiar with John 1:12, when John said, as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. But when I read that verse, it burdens me because they can't call on him. I'm telling you, if you listen to the average sermon on Facebook, it's pathetic. It's pathetic. They believe in the universal church. They believe in open communion. You know why? Because nobody wants somebody telling them what they should and shouldn't do. But God told me many, many years ago that I needed to repent. And I'm glad I listened to him. I still get excited about the word. I even get excited when when the way Israel is being treated. And I pray for Israel. Whether you agree with them or not, they're God's people. And when you see them leaving, look up. Your redemption draws nigh. So if we're going to reach our family, friends, and neighbors, and I'll tell you right up front, I started a little thing. I think I started Wednesday night. I'm not sure, but I just drove from house to house over on the lake. There's 103 houses there. And I just would go to them, and I don't invite them to the church. I just said, you know, do you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? You know. And one of them told me yesterday, they said, we would surely like to have a Bible study in somebody's home. I said, that little cabin up on the hill, ain't nobody but me. Come. With your husband, your wife, your kids, your neighbors. We'll have a Bible study every week. Because I believe right before he comes back, we ain't going to be allowed to worship here. And y'all believe what you want, but you're going to go undercover to worship the God without being dealt with. But God said, you know, here in John 1:12, as we read, as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. See, there's what's the problem with salvation is that we always think we got to do something. When you're lost, the only thing you can do is mess it up. Just say, Lord, here am I. The best witness that you can show forth is for the world to see a difference in you. It was cold yesterday. And here was this three ladies, and I'm going to be nice to them. They had a coat on and a hoodie on, and I guess they had something besides panties on, but you could see their legs all the way at the top. Why do you think they are out there doing that? Is there something about cold weather that makes your legs better? No. I want to be cool. Well, God said, cool or not cool, as many as received him, he gave the power. You can't repeat a prayer. You can't stop doing this and start doing that. When the word of God gets in your heart, this is what you want to live by, not what the preacher says, unless he's saying what the Bible says. Notice with me in Matthew 24, verse 32. Matthew 24 and verse 32. Now learn the parable of the fig tree. When his branches is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. What's he saying? So likewise, ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Religion is not looking for the Lord. Basically, to understand the second coming of the Lord and to understand Revelation, you got to know that Christianity and religion are far apart. But God said, you know, we have the most prominent of all signs, the Jewish sign. And he tells us, you know, in verse 32. Now learn the parable of the fig tree. When its branches is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know the summer is nigh. When certain things begin to happen, it's close. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near even at the door. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. I believe I'm right. I'm not 100% sure. But I believe a generation is 40 years. Is that right? Anybody know? This generation is going to come when you see these things happening. And he's given us reason. He's given us instruction. The signs of the times. The tree in verse 32, when he said, now learn a parable of the fig tree, represents Israel. And we're not going to read all of it, but I ask you to, if you want to really get some understanding, read the 24th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. Go to Hosea and read the 9th chapter and the 10th verse. Putting forth his leaves speak of the establishment of Israel in her land, just as scriptures forbid the dispersion of Israel into the nations. But look what God says in Luke 21. Luke 21. God tells us here, in the 21st chapter of Luke, in the 24th verse, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be spoken, trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. few are being saved. That tells us that the Gentile time period is about up. What's he going to do? He's going to turn back to the Jews. And when you see people turning their back upon the Jewish nation, look up. Look up. So here and elsewhere, the restoration of Israel to the homeland in unbelief is prophesied. And just prior to their Messiah's return, the rebirth as a nation, that happened in 1948. Small little country. Most of our 50 states are bigger than Israel. But see, they're not fighting in their own power. They're fighting in the power of God. Their miraculous preservation through 5 years with the Arabs, their preparation to rebuild the holy temple and resume temple sacrifices, and this present peace process with the Arabs are all evidence of the putting forth the leaves. Now, let's look at Luke 21. Verse 29, God said, and he spake to them a parable, behold, the fig tree and all the trees, when they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves, the summer is now nigh at hand. We know that spring is when we see the flowers begin to bloom out. All the little trees put on their beautiful leaves and, you know, and you say, man, I like to have one in my yard here and one here. It's a sign showing you that spring has happened. When they now shoot forth, you see and know of your own selves, the summer is now nigh at hand. Verse 31, so likewise, ye, when he see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. See, United States is bankrupt. I mean, anybody that knows anything about the economical situation in the United States know that we're sending all those millions of dollars wherever we send them. That's borrowed money. Well, God said in verse 32, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Notice the next verse. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. That same word that we use to believe that the Lord is coming back, that same word will judge us. Makes no difference who's president. Makes no difference who's in control. When you stand before the King of Kings, you can see whether you're in heaven or going in hell if you're familiar with the guidebook. See, it's not enough to walk before the aisles of church and say, I repented of my sins. You know, like we've had right here, we've had a couple people on Sunday morning walk this aisle ask for forgiveness. I'm living in sin. Praise God, he's taking it away from me. And before that day was over, they was right back doing it. He said, well, they need help. They need salvation. Walking the aisle is not salvation. It's the evidence of salvation. There's no salvation coming forth. Well, God tells us here that the answer is found in John 1:12, of course, when, you know, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even those that believed on his name. But when we look at scriptures in Daniel, chapter 2, 40 through 45, chapter 7, verse, Revelation 13, 1, as we read, and Revelation 17, 12. I mean, this is just little tidbits for we get a foundation so we can see that all of these things are going to take place right before the Lord comes back. He said in verse 12 of Revelation 17, and the ten horns which thou sawest are the ten kings which have received no kingdoms as yet, but received power as kings for 1 hour with the beast. And I can't help but when I read that, I think about the leader of Russia, the leader of China, that has nothing, have no respect for human life at all. But they've got power. But what we need to see, and this is such that we'll, if you hear on Wednesday night or get the test when we study in the Revelation, but I wanted you to get this, just tidbits. Because as we go into Revelation verse by verse, you'll see it. The ecumenical or religious sign is present today because the Bible says the moral and spiritual decay of the professing church is a contributing factor in forming of the unholy alliance. I've talked to several of you from time to time. Churches that independent missionary Baptist churches within 100 miles surround us, they wouldn't take the things they're taking now, years ago. If somebody was disciplined, they wouldn't even take them until they come back before the church to make things right. But see, when church members and religious people sin now, as they have told me face to face, it's really none of your business. I've got to answer to God, not you. I'll just throw this out because I've already prepared the sermon. I just haven't decided when I need to preach it. When you rail against the pastor, you're asking God to take you home. So I don't believe that. It don't change facts. Don't change facts at all. Well, God said the moral and spiritual decay of the professing church is a contributing factor in forming of this ungodly alignment. What did Paul say in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Notice with me now. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 16, God said, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." What does that mean? I know I'm saved, and I believe my wife was saved. She will come up to meet God before me. The dead in Christ shall rise first. We who are alive and remain will be caught up. I mean, it all happens so fast, you'd have to be a time specialist too. But I'm just telling you what God's word says. So what the Lord is telling us here, you know, when we look at those scriptures and we see the blessedness, see, to these could be added the technology sign. Are y'all familiar with how powerful the eye is? They can control your life without you even knowing it. Leon Moss is right now is offering you to double your money if you invest in his company. You said, "Who is he?" Well, he's one of the most richest men in the country. But IA knows what you're going to do and how you're going to act when it happens. And people say, "Oh, I'm not into that." Well, you got to have something like that, church, if you're going to believe in the events that's going to take place right before his coming. No, great movements today are working to bring this about. Men such as Pope John II are encouraging not only Roman Catholics and Protestants to put aside their difference, but all religions to unite for the sake of peace. Won't that be wonderful? Me and Russia and me and China are buddies. We can sit down and have coffee together. You know why all the countries are coming together? It's got to take place before the Lord, and it's happening quickly. One world government. One world leader. Moral and spiritual decay of the professing church is sickening. I mean, to know that we are Baptists, that we're that chosen people, and God has blessed us, given us understanding and ability that he has in a lot of people. But yet, we look in our Bibles, and let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Right there in Lexington. Get off Tate Street, New Circle Road, turn on Tate Street, go about a couple miles, turn left, and there's about five, six, seven churches right there in a row. They don't practice discipline. You don't have to have any convictions as long as you're willing to sing, long as you're willing to go along with the programs. And what breaks my heart is when I see pastors' sons and grandsons and great-grandsons becoming part of that. You said, why does it bother you so? Well, it bothers me, but it also encourages me because that's got to happen before God comes back. There won't be this church. There'll be one universal church. I mean, we're all going to the same place. Why have all of these buildings? I'll give you an update when I get the rest of it, but they're already speaking to start taxing the property of churches. Can you imagine what Southland Christian Church would have to pay? They got churches all over these counties. You said it'll never happen. I hope you're right. But there's going to be one church right before the end of times. So as we close, we see in 2 Timothy, a couple more verses, we'll let you go. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. This know that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blaspheming, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Now notice verse 3. Without natural affection. Truth breakers. False accusers. Incontinent. Fierce. Despisers of those that are good. Traitors. Heady. High-minded. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. What did God say? From such turn away. But they're my friend. They're your enemy if you're a child of the King. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sin, led away with divers lusts. Surely, if you're an adult in this building, you know what Satan has done to the home, to girlfriend, boyfriend relationship, men and women's relationship. As we close, I want to read Revelation 13:4. Revelation 13:4. God said here in the 13th chapter in the 4th verse, and they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? One of those guys that used to be a Baptist, he said, oh, I'm still a Baptist. No. Baptists don't ordain women. Baptists practice church discipline. And Baptists believe in salvation by grace. Final. Nothing else. Nothing to add to it. Nothing taken away. Song leading the pianist drum. If God's spoken, you tell us.